Okay, this is a very nerve-wracking experience for me because this is the first time I've actually preached in English. Preached a couple of times in Portuguese, and so I ask for your patience this morning. I don't have the support of Richard or Eric here. Trevor's been gracious to be my support this morning. Ooh. Okay, let's come up. Thank you, Trevor. Okay. Summer of Love, or as Bob said last week, Summer of Love. Yeah, he did so, yes. He did a very good job last week of starting us off in this series. It's 3 weeks, and the next week will be Dave Barnsley, right? You're doing next. Bob spoke from John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. And he spoke about the love that God has for us. And it was very appropriate that he spoke that in the context of communion. And today we're going to be looking at that love in our lives. So we're going to start off in Ephesians. Oh, I've got to switch it on, don't I? There we go. Ephesians 3:17-21. Now, start in the middle of 17. So don't read it from the beginning. And then I also put a little brackets there. I pray, because this is a prayer. I pray that you being rooted and grounded in love. Well, sorry, is everyone there? Should I wait for you guys? Okay. I pray that you being rooted and grounded in love may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly in all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us. To him be glory in the church in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Now, we could spend a lot of time on these verses, but unfortunately, I've only got 20 minutes, so I'm going to try and do the best that I can. Okay, let's first put this into context. This is a prayer. As a prayer that's come out of a revelation that Paul shows a bit earlier on. So if we look at verse 6 of the same chapter, he says, this mystery is that the Gentiles are fellow heirs, members of the same body, and partakers of the promise in Jesus Christ through the gospel. So he says that this mystery, that this gospel is not only for the Jews, it's for the Gentiles, it's for everybody. And it's out of this revelation that he comes with this prayer for the church in Ephesus. Okay. First thing to note in this is that he's preaching to the church. He's not preaching to individuals. He's preaching to us as a church, and we should receive this as a church. Being rooted and grounded in love. As Christians, we all start from a position of Christ's love and forgiveness. After studying, I received my diploma. And what it said in it is that what I studied was multimedia design and... actually, I forgot what I studied now. Multimedia design and production. That's what I studied. When we become Christians, we kind of receive our own diploma. We've been redeemed and loved. So we all start from this position. But it's not something we have earned. But it's just something, a place that we start. And it's a place that we continue, and this is where Paul is starting this prayer. That we've been grounded and rooted in love. We may have strength to comprehend. Some translations say they're slightly different, differently. May be able to comprehend or be able to take in. With all the saints, so all of us, not just us in this little church, but with everybody in all the churches. What is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge. I find this very strange. He's praying that we will understand something that we cannot understand. I think that's the power of it, actually. That we need to comprehend or get to grips of this love. The breadth of it, the length of it, the height, this vastness of Christ's love for us. Such an incredible love that God has given us. Got water here. Great. Didn't realize. That you may be filled with all the fullness of God. So we need to understand this love. Why? So we can be filled with the fullness of God. Who do we know that's filled with the fullness of God? Jesus Christ, right? So to be more Christ-like, we have to understand this love that has been so freely given to us, that's so huge, that's so massive. I'm going to look at an example of... Wait, no, that's not it. Here's an example of Christ showing love to a sinner. It's John 8... 3-11. The scribes and the Pharisees brought a woman who had been caught in adultery, and placing her in the midst, they said to him, "Teacher, this woman has been caught in the act of adultery. Now, in the law, Moses commanded us to stone such a woman. What do you say?" This they said to test him, that they might have some charge to bring against him. Jesus bent down and wrote with his finger on the ground. And as they continued to ask him, they stood up and said to him, "Let him who is out sin among you be the first to throw a stone at her." Once more, he bent down and wrote on the ground. But when they heard it, they went away one by one, beginning with the elder ones, and Jesus was left alone with the woman. Standing before him, Jesus stood and said to her, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" She said, "No one, Lord." And he said, "Neither do I condemn you. Go, and from now on, sin no more." Jesus actually put his life in danger here by putting himself in front of the Pharisees and the scribes. He showed love to this woman, but at the same time, he didn't deny the sin. Sometimes I think we think of this... We need to be this church that accepts everybody, but accepts the sin as well. And as St. Augustine once said, hate the sin and not the sinner. Let me go back. So let's look at this last part now. "Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Jesus Christ, through all generations, forever and ever. Amen." Now this is incredible work, incredible love that God has given us. This incredible power of this love is a work within us. And that's how it's manifest in this world, through us, through our actions, through our love, through loving people. Now let me ask a question. Who do you struggle to love? Who do you find it most difficult to show the love of Christ to? Is it gay people? Is it family? Work colleagues? Neighbors? People who have hurt you? And probably the list could go on, but these ones just came to the top of my head. So I'm actually going a lot faster than I expected to. I think because I'm so nervous, I just rushed through that. So I'd like to lead us in a prayer now to wrap this all up. I really want you to think about how you can give your love to the people who are in the world. How can you show Christ's love? I'm basically going to echo this prayer that Paul prayed. So, okay. God, we thank you that you loved us with a love that is so incredible, that is so amazing, that we need to pray to understand it, Lord God, that we'll be able to grasp this ungraspable love. We pray that we'll be able to understand this love, Lord God, that we'll be able to manifest this love in our daily lives, in our daily activity, Lord God, in our workplace, in our schools, Lord God, and just going to town and just living in this world, Lord. We pray that we'll be able to be the light and the salt and to love people. I pray that this power that is within us will be manifest every day. Ask us all in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.